Scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Romans. I was going to read chapter 14. Instead, let's read chapter 12. It belongs to the end of the epistle to the Romans dealing with thankfulness. Romans chapter 12, we read the entire chapter. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. Before we turn to the catechism, I want to read from Scripture, Romans 14, verses 7 to 9, and then also verse 23. All part of that section on thankfulness. The principle that the apostle brings out is that our bodies are not our own. He brings it out again in these verses. Chapter 14, verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose, and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. And that same principle again comes out in verse 23 of that same chapter, Romans 14, verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eats, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. On the basis, beloved, of those verses, especially verse 7 through 9, that the Catechism gives us the instruction of Lord's Day 1. Lord's Day 1, the first question and answer of the Catechism. We'll read those. What is thy only comfort in life and death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? Three. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism must certainly be one of the most beautiful questions and answers that has ever been written in a catechism. And yet that beauty is not at the expense of the profound truth found in this Lord's Day. It's theologically deep, and yet this Lord's Day is also very practical. Lord's Day 1 addresses the heart with the glorious truth of salvation in Jesus Christ, and so addresses the greatest need that you and I have, the need of solid comfort that answers to our misery. What a glorious comfort, beloved, to belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Questions and answers 1 and 2 give to us the summary of the entire catechism. You could say it's a mini catechism. It's the catechism in a nutshell. And now, the rest of the catechism simply is going to flesh out what this Lord's Day has expressed. The rest of the catechism is going to tell us the knowledge that we need if we are going to enjoy lasting comfort in the midst of this life. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? And the heart of the answer is the opening statement, I am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior. That's it. That's the part of the answer, and that's the heart of the whole catechism. I am not my own. That's the truth, beloved, that I would want you to have and for myself to have when we are being taken to the emergency room. I am not my own. That's the truth, beloved, that I would want to be in our hearts when death seems to be rapidly approaching. I'm not my own. When you face some great obstacle in life, that's the truth that should be in our hearts. We are not our own, but belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. The question is, we could ask the question this way, what is it that keeps you going through the difficulties in this life? What causes you to persevere? And the world gives their answers to that question. The world says, I'm strong enough in myself. I can cope with those difficulties. Or maybe they say, I try not to think of those things. I put them out of my mind, and so they medicate themselves, so to speak. They drown their misery. Some buy drugs or alcohol, some using shopping as a therapy, some listening to music to drown out the misery that surrounds them, some looking to their possessions or perhaps to their circle of friends for support. But beloved, by God's grace, our answer to that question, what is it that keeps us going? What is thy comfort in life and in death? Our answer, by God's grace, is that I am not my own. I don't belong to myself. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. In life and in death, we are always the Lord's. Let's consider the truth of Scripture summarized in this Lord's Day then under that theme. Let's note in the first place, not my own. Secondly, that we are Christ's, and how we enjoy that comfort. In life and death, always the Lord's. Not my own, but Christ's. And therefore, enjoying comfort. Beloved, if we never had the Heidelberg Catechism, I wonder how we would answer that question. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And if we had time to think about it, we might say, my comfort is that Jesus Christ has saved me, and that would be a good answer. And if we gave more thought and we wanted to be more thorough in our answer, we might say, I have forgiveness in Jesus Christ, who has paid for all my sins. That would be a good answer. And yet if we thought even more, we might come up with that phrase, I belong to Jesus Christ. I wonder if we would come up with that phrase in the Catechism, I'm not my own. I don't belong to myself. My guess is that we wouldn't come up with that answer very quickly. But the Catechism is getting at something when it says that I am not my own. There's something deeply discomforting. There's something tragic about belonging to ourselves. It's tragic when someone says, I am my own man. I can do whatever I want. That's tragic when a child wanders away from the faith, or a dear one says, I belong to myself. That's tragic. The Catechism says, that's the teaching of the Catechism, if you belong to yourself, then you are living a miserable life. If you think that way, you are going to be miserable. Why did Jesus die? To save us from something. What did He die to save us from? He died so that none of us would live to Himself, to use the words of the Apostle Paul. None of us would live to Himself, and none of us would die to Himself. And yet that's not what the world celebrates. The world celebrates that they belong to themselves. They say, I am number one. This is my life to live as I please. And beloved, by nature, we say that too. And at bottom, that's an expression of our misery. And yet, when God enlightens us by His grace, not only does our old man say, I belong to myself, but also our new man says, I am not my own. I belong to Jesus Christ. There's the struggle that the believer experiences. We read a passage in Romans, and essentially you could say this, it's the struggle of every child of God, it's the struggle of every church, and so the struggle in the Church of Rome was, as the Apostle tells us in chapter 14, the saints were not living out of the principle of faith as they ought to have been living out of that principle of faith. Romans 14, verse 23 says, whatsoever is not of faith, whatsoever does not have its source in faith, is sin. And the principle of faith is this. I belong to Jesus Christ. I have been united to Jesus Christ. And so essentially the Apostle tells the Romans, you're living as though you belong to yourselves. Chapter 14, we didn't read that. The Romans had an issue. Some ate meat, others didn't eat meat. They squabbled with each other. The Apostle tells them, we don't belong to ourselves. You're living as though you belonged to yourself. And so, in this entire chapter, the end of Romans, beginning at chapter 12, the Apostle admonishes believers, in light of God's mercies, in light of their glorious salvation in Jesus Christ, he admonishes them to present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. In light of the fact that Jesus Christ has purchased you with His precious blood, you don't belong to yourself. That's the message that the Apostle gives to the Romans and to us today. Our bodies are not our own. Therefore, Romans 12, verse 3, therefore, or verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The rest of the letter, beloved, gives practical ways in which the saints are called to present their bodies, to present our bodies, a living sacrifice to God, because we belong to Him. We belong to our faithful Savior. That's what the Apostle says, too. Verse 3, or rather verse 4 of chapter 12. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, the church, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We belong to one another. We belong to the church because we belong to Christ. That's the principle the apostle wants us to think about. And yet, we sadly forget that. We forget that we belong to Jesus Christ. And when we forget, when we start living as if we belong to ourselves, then we don't do the things that the apostle mentions in that 12th chapter. That's why the Spirit brings that word to us. If it came naturally, we wouldn't have to be reminded. The Holy Spirit wouldn't bring this word and He wouldn't apply that word to our hearts. But we still have the old man that says, I belong to myself. And as long as we live as though we belong to ourselves, we ignore those admonitions of Romans 12. We won't. If I think I belong to myself, then I'm not going to use my gifts for the body. I belong to myself. If I think I belong and live as though I belong to myself, then I'm not going to love my neighbor from the heart. It's not about my neighbor then it's about me. If I belong to myself, I'm going to be lazy in the work that God sets before me. If I belong to myself, I'm not going to be given to hospitality. If I belong to myself, I'm not going to distribute to the needs of the saints. If I belong to myself, I'm not going to bless those who persecute me. I'm not going to rejoice when others rejoice. I'm not going to weep with those who weep if I belong to myself. I'm going to be wise instead. If I think I belong to myself, I'm going to be wise in my own conceit. I'm not going to live peaceably as God calls me to. Instead, I'm going to seek revenge. If I belong to myself, I'm not going to feed my enemy. I'm going to seek his harm. Beloved, if we belong to ourselves, we will be utterly miserable. If you belong to yourself, you have a fool for a master. If you belong to yourself, then there are no mercies of Christ. That's the only reality for you, that you belong to yourself, and Christ is out of the picture altogether, then everyone must answer for their own sins. The one who belongs to themselves says, I have the right to live how I want to live. I have a right to sin. Well, if that's the way it is, beloved, then you also have to answer for your own sins. You are your own when the judgment day comes. And in practical terms, that means there's no help from God. If I am my own, if I don't belong to Jesus Christ, then there's no help from God in my troubles, in my trials. When life spirals into chaos, when the body begins to deteriorate, then I belong to myself. In times of sickness or accidents or financial ruin, then you belong to yourself. When we see that, beloved, because we have the old man, there's a certain part of us that yet expresses that very thing. I belong to myself. When we see that, we need to repent, beloved. To call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I cannot do it on my own. I don't want to belong to myself. Forgive my sinfulness. Forgive my sinful attitude. Forgive me for thinking that I belong to myself. And give, O Lord, the grace that I may live for Thee. How do we begin every worship service? We say, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Or we could say it this way. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not our own, but we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. It only gets worse, beloved, if we say we are our own. Mankind tries to come up with all kinds of meaning and purpose for life, but they can't find any meaning or purpose for life. As long as they belong to themselves, it's all about themselves. There is no purpose or meaning unless we belong to Jesus Christ. Living for ourselves, belonging to ourselves, implies all kinds of things. If I'm living for myself, then I begin to fear what others will say about me, what others will think of me. Then I may, if I belong to myself, then I may experiment with anything. As long, that's the way they put it, as long as I'm not hurting anyone. Or if an unborn child gets in the way of living my life the way I please, well, then I may kill that child, the world says. I have the right to make that decision because I belong to myself, says the world. Nobody has the right to inconvenience me. If I belong to myself, then suicide would be an option. I get to determine whether my life is worth living. If I belong to myself, and if I belong to myself, I'm not getting fulfillment in my marriage. Even though children will suffer, I have the right for my happiness, to seek my happiness. And if I find someone that makes me feel good, then I have a right to marry them. Because I belong to myself. But beloved, in reality, if we belong to ourselves, in reality we belong to the devil. In reality, then we are a slave to the devil. And we are destined for hell. Hell is full of people who belong only to themselves. What we confess in the Catechism, beloved, and God be thanked for this truth, is that we are not our own, but we belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the principle that the Apostle expresses in Romans 14 as well. None of us, verse 7, none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord, both of the dead and living. We live as those who belong to Christ. By God's grace, when He works in our hearts, then we submit ourselves to the Lord, the Master, who owns us. We submit ourselves to His will. That's our desire. Submit ourselves to His will at every turn. And if I belong to Christ, then everything I do should be, it should be that I do it to please Him. That was the context. The apostle, when he says, none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself, he's talking about the eating of meat or not eating of meat. And he takes the two extremes, whether we are living or even in death. Not to mention eating meat or not eating meat. The apostle gives the principle of all of life, all the way up to death. We are the Lord's. None of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. If I belong to Jesus Christ, then everything I do ought to be for the Lord's sake. If I do anything that I imagine displeases the Lord, I know that doing this or that displeases the Lord. That's impious. That's wicked. That's sinful. That's wandering away from the Lord. Indeed, to go a step further, if we are not convinced that what we are doing is indeed pleasing to the Lord, then it is sin. That's the principle the apostle gives at the end of the chapter. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever does not have its source in faith is sin. That principle applies to life, all of life, and even death. And then we get on our knees, beloved, when we see that we have fallen short. And say, Lord, I thank Thee. Yet that I don't belong to myself. I don't want to belong to myself. I belong to Thee. And the fact, beloved, that we pray that we repent of living to ourselves, the fact that we pray that means that God is working a work in our hearts. He has done a great work. He has united us to Christ. He has set us free and put us under new management. The old man still fights. Talked with somebody about this recently. The old man still fights for the steering wheel. But Jesus Christ puts the new man in the driver's seat. Yes, there is a battle. But we belong to Christ. We are the church's. The church is Christ's possession. The church belongs to Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. We are no longer our own, but we belong to Him, body and soul. And so by grace we confess that the Holy Spirit has performed a marvelous work, has placed each one of us in the hands of our faithful Savior. He established, the Holy Spirit has, a gracious union, a bond of faith with Jesus Christ. So that the result of that work, that gracious work of the Spirit, the result is that now I love and I trust and I want to worship God, and nothing can separate me from that love. You understand, beloved, that union with Christ is not based on our willingness or our worthiness. It's based on Christ's worthiness and Christ's willingness to take us to Himself. And now He is Lord. He is Master. He assumes total ownership of our salvation. Everything that pertains to our good and our salvation, He gives to us so that not even a hair can fall from our head without His will. He rules. That's the truth, that Christ now taking ownership of us, complete ownership, He rules over all the details of our lives so that we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." To say I belong to Christ, beloved, means He exercises a sovereign rule. He rules me by His Holy Spirit. It's not the case that Jesus and I are equals. No, we belong to Him. He is our Master. And there is, beloved, there is no Master like Jesus Christ. He leads us. And He calls us to follow Him. And the sheep hear His voice. And they, by God's work in their hearts, submit to Him. And therefore, in all my anxieties, in all my distresses, where do I go? Where can I go? I belong to Jesus Christ. Are you afraid this morning, beloved? Are you burdened? Is your heart crushed by some weight? Jesus says, "Come unto me." The Good Shepherd says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." That's our fundamental need, beloved. That gives us comfort. Jesus Christ takes our sin away so that we may enjoy fellowship with God. And apart from God's Word, we would get that wrong. The fundamental need, beloved, of each one of us here is to belong to Jesus Christ. So we're not missing the point if we go out into the world and say to those who are living in physical poverty, if we say to them, "Your fundamental need is to belong to Christ. Your fundamental need is to be forgiven so that you might have fellowship with God." And even though your life might be changed outwardly, though you may be given food or shelter, if that's all you have, if you are not united to Christ, you are still in your sins. We need our sins to be forgiven. Not just some of them. Not just most of them. We need all of our sins forgiven. We need our original sin. We need our corruption and the guilt of sin to be forgiven. We need our actual sins to be forgiven. We need our besetting sins to be forgiven. Those sins, too, that no one else knows about. We need those to be forgiven. And even though no one else knows, God knows that we need our sins to be forgiven. God knows the sins that lie in the darkness of our hearts. And they will be forgiven, beloved, when we call upon God for mercy in Jesus Christ. They will be forgiven because we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who has already fully satisfied for all my sins. So the comfort goes deeper. For all that Christ has done for me, He delivered me. And here is everything that He keeps doing for me. That's something He has done already. He has already delivered me. And now He keeps me. Day by day, in the big things and in the little things. Everything, every detail, He makes to serve my salvation. And our comfort is not just that here is this great good, and it happens to be greater than this misery. And so I just focus on the good and try to forget that misery. That's not our comfort. It's more than that. Our comfort is that the evils that we confront, even the trials and difficulties, even they are working for my good. It's not this is good and that's evil, but God takes everything that happens in our lives and He works that for our salvation. For our light afflictions are but for a moment, but they work in us a far more exceeding weight of glory. The more we consider that, the more comfort we have in Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him. Every detail is in the hand of our faithful Savior. That's our comfort, beloved. He is working for your good and my good. And He is gracious. We must live in this comfort and rejoice in this comfort. How do we enjoy that comfort? I'm not asking how we know it, but how do we enjoy that comfort? That's the question that the Catechism asks. How many things are necessary to know that thou enjoying this comfort mayest live and die happily? How do we enjoy it? Someone says, are you enjoying your camper in the backyard? And if we said, well, we have a camper, we know it's there in the backyard, we know all the good times we could have with it, but if all we did was to leave it parked in the backyard, we would not be enjoying it. And so it is, beloved, with our comfort. To enjoy it is more than just knowing about our comfort. To know, it's more than knowing that there is such a thing as comfort that's out there. But to enjoy it is to experience the preciousness, the soothing truth of that comfort in the midst of our difficulties and trials. How do you enjoy it? How do you put it to use? Well, we need to be careful about two pitfalls, two extremes. There are some that doubt. They look at themselves in the wrong way. They see, and we ought to see this, beloved, about ourselves. We ought to see that we are sinners, but some look at themselves and they see so much sin. And then the fact that I see all that sin, well, that must mean I don't belong. Well, if that were true, beloved, that those who see their sin can't know they belong to Jesus Christ, well, then nobody could have comfort in this life. And we must not look to ourselves and then our own works as the basis of our comfort to say, well, I've done enough good works, therefore I have comfort. Do not look to ourselves as the basis for our comfort. We need to look to Christ as the basis for our comfort. Then the other extreme is that there are those who boast of belonging to Christ. And maybe it would be good for them if they doubted. They boast of belonging to Christ, but 6 days out of the week, they belong to themselves. They live for themselves. And then on Sunday, they say they belong to Him. But they don't walk in the ways of the Lord. They don't see that desire to offer their bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord, wholly acceptable unto God. They don't see that. And then if we do that, we have no assurance that we belong to the Lord. So how do we know? How do we know that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ? Well, the first thing is that the Holy Spirit testifies through His Word that we belong to Christ. Now, it's true, beloved, we can't open up the Bible. And, well, maybe we think this would be nice if we could open up the Bible and find our personal name written. This one belongs to Christ. John Smith, Jane Doe, belongs to Christ. We won't ever find our names written in Scripture that way. But Scripture does give us a picture. We do find our pictures there. In this way, the Bible draws a picture. It draws a picture. This is what the child of God looks like. The child of God struggles. Struggles against sin. The child of God hates his sin. Child of God looks to Jesus Christ, knowing that there is no other source of forgiveness. The child of God trusts in Christ alone to deliver us from sin. The child of God, Scripture declares, is thankful and wants to live his life, fighting against sin and living to Christ. Sin, knowledge of our salvation, and the knowledge of our thankfulness. That's the picture of the child of God. What is your comfort, beloved, in life and in death? What is your comfort this morning? I am not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee that we are not our own. We thank Thee that we belong to Jesus Christ, our faithful Savior. Grant us, O Lord, that more and more we would live out of that knowledge. That more and more we would leave off living for ourselves, living as though we belong to ourselves. May we live as those who have been purchased by the precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Forgive then our sins and lead and guide us in all of our pilgrimage, in life and in death. May we know that we are the Lord's. Give us that knowledge, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.